Hello, art friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there, welcome back.
So guys, this one's just pure fun, pure love.
Yes, and someday I want to call it Wisdom Wednesday, but today's Friday, so we'll have to work on that.
Yeah, we're going to have to come up with something for that.
Yes.
Please do subscribe to both channels, and in case you haven't noticed, what we've been doing, I don't know, I've just been felt to be led to bring some of the what I feel is more important, wisdom and knowledge and understanding of some things that a lot of people perhaps don't understand growing up in a Abrahamic tradition household to them. So things like what you see here, the Essene Gospel of Peace, that's part one. There's a part two that's going up at midnight tonight. And also some verses in the Bible that many people probably don't even know are there and that should really kind of shock you. And things about the rainbow body, the Anunnaki, the power structure behind all of our belief systems. So when you really want to grasp some wisdom, in my mind, from everything I've studied, I find so much wisdom in the East. Or you can find it in the Western mystery tradition. You're not going to find it out there in, you know, for mass consumption. Because again, this world is controlled by a group that wants to keep people ignorant of all the mysteries, all the big questions in life. No. They want you giving your power away. So what we're going to be talking about, and you know, we'll cover more of the spiritual on both evolutionary and EE arts, as at some point in time, you know, I mean, that's really where our passions lie. It's not really so much in the news. It's, you know, part of the cycle that we're in. And boy, you better be prepared for what's coming because it's not going to be a cakewalk. As this system decays and dies, and it will, it's going to fall apart. It's only a matter of time because the awakening is coming from source, from the creator of this universe, from all the benevolent beings, from our higher selves in many ways. And the awakening will not be stopped, no matter how much they try. They can and they will get some souls to go down the wrong path, and it will, in some cases, lead to a period of trying to free oneself again, you know, from going down that wrong path that leads to nowhere. So self-realization is in fact the only religion, for it's the true purpose of religion, no matter how people define their beliefs. And I said to Cindy, Parahamsa Yogananda, he was such a fountain of illumination for the people of the Western world that had never really been introduced to yoga. He was one of the first people that brought yoga to the West and a whole different way to look at what we would call religion and spirituality.
Mm-hmm. And you know, I think wisdom comes from deep within a lot of us who go through trials and tribulations in life. And we have found ways to heal those trials and tribulations, and we definitely gain a lot of wisdom from that. But there's other sources. It doesn't always need to be internal. Sometimes people just really crave wisdom, and they crave self-realization for various reasons in their life. They might want to really understand themselves, and it's nice if there's a path or a way that we can really truly understand ourselves and then accept that information that's in front of us.
He founded a society, so to speak, called the Self-Realization Fellowship. And the people that I've met from different parts of the country that have gone and taken part in this fellowship, they're some of the most gentle, warm, compassionate souls I've ever met. It's just transformative, the teachings that Yogananda blessed us with. And many have followed his path. And, you know, when you look to some of his wisdom, really, again, this is the message in the East. In the East, the line of thinking is, do you really want to know God? Well, first you got to know yourself. You're never going to know God, the creator and source, which is behind everything that is, was, will be, has ever been, and won't be. All of it. Anything. Everything. Source is the all itself. So again, by that very definition, source is in you. If you want to know source, if you want to know God, you got to know yourself first. How many of us can actually say that we really know ourselves? And I've shared with you guys that as a kid, even though I was a kid that was lonely a lot, and that led to the way I went about my foundational years through going within and going into books. And, you know, as a little kid, my son, he was just like me, and I venture to say probably just like my dad was. And, you know, my son, when he was like 7 years old, 8 years old, where would I find him? Out underneath a tree meditating. Where was I at 5, 6, 7, 8 years old? I was in my closet meditating. Why was I in my closet meditating? Well, in my meditations, I've discovered that I've had multiple lives as monks of Buddhist and Taoist persuasions. And in reality, it's kind of been an alternative thing where in between the lives doing what we're doing right now, I would need to recoup by grounding, centering, and would typically have a next life in some form of monkism, so to speak, just a life of introspection and recharging, getting ready for another life of breaking down the system as best as I can and helping others to learn. And, you know, so for me, it was natural. And I did have a life, probably multiple, but there's one I could remember specific visions of, and it's in a cave. It's in a cave. And, you know, it's looking out over a plain that I would take to be somewhere in Tibet or around the Tibetan Nepal border. So, you know, for me, that snuggly blanket that you wrap yourself in as a kid was always within. And again, it might come very hard for people because, like anybody else, in my own personal life, you know, I got wrapped up in things as a teenager going to high school, and then as a young adult, typical goals, got to get a house, get your own car, get a house, you know, be successful in your job. And, you know, did all those things really quickly and found that I was emptier than ever. And it was not about those things, because those things, yeah, I quickly realized, don't give you any peace. They don't give you any true satisfaction. It's the going within.
Mm-hmm. And you know, what if you had the ability to understand this information? You could understand what feeds your soul. You could understand what you're made of. You could understand what brings you peace, and just get a good idea of why did I come here? What is this mission for? What is this journey for? All of those are very, very, very important questions, and different things feed different souls. So if it is your need to know what you did in past lives that's going to help give you understanding, then that's what you seek out to do. If it's understanding your galactic nature, your higher consciousness, then that's what you seek out to do. But it is about self-fulfilling on so many levels. And on this journey, while we are learning about ourselves, we tend to run into other people and they join us along the way, or we help them, or they help us. So, you know, it's all about discovery.
Yes, discovery is the name of the game of life. Self-realization means to know the truth through yourself, not through others. So right away, when we go and we go into any sort of belief system that we take on faith, what's that saying? Are you being true to yourself because you're choosing to believe in something that somebody else told you, that somebody else said, that it's not firsthand, it's not secondhand? You know, it's just hearsay. So there again, you got to judge it by its fruits. And where is the world at? Nonstop warfare, nonstop chaos, nonstop division. Yet we can see there have been studies done that show when people meditate as a group, crime goes down, violence goes down, everything starts to get better. I think we need to, do a little bit more meditation. Like Cindy said so many times, I wish they would teach these things to kids in school. Why wouldn't they have taught us about meditation, about the life force? Do you know you're swimming in an ocean of life force all around you? And you could take that into you and you could utilize that to help heal yourself, calm yourself, soothe yourself, bring relief from pain and things. When there's a headache with anybody that we're dealing with, like if Cindy said something like, I have a headache, what do we do? I don't go to the medicine cabinet. We don't have a medicine cabinet. I put my hands on her head, I run energy, and the headache goes away. We don't use aspirin typically, or anything typically. We would definitely put bandages on if we got a nasty gash. I mean, we're obviously going to do that. But through energy, we can do things like curing headaches are really, that's nothing out of the normal. That's something that's, rudimentary. And again, it's energetic imbalances that usually cause our disease. It's not processing emotions. It can be a lot of other things in these times too, as you know, as I'm looking at the blue lights on the router going, that is affecting our energy fields. The signals coming through the cell phones, the smart TVs, everything, all that can affect us. Absolutely. And, I noticed the other day that when we made a video up at the lake, which we haven't published yet, and I'm not sure if we will or not just because of noise issues and the such, all of a sudden, this is an area where we got no signal or maybe, a tiny bit of a bar. It was 5G there. Whoa. Okay, the frequencies are being turned up, guys. But there I digress. Again, seek God through self-realization, through exploring you, because you're not the same as some guy from, whether it's 300 AD or 200 BC. Do you have the same perspective as that person? Does the relevance of that person's life equate to your life in the world right now? Again, society wants you to fit into a one-size-fits-all mentality. Every one of us is a unique prism that light is reflected through. So again, seek God first through self-realization. All things, strength, power, prosperity, wisdom, health, and even immortality will be added unto you. And how could that be immortality? Well, it's a realization. One of the first realizations I had at 5 years old was, I'm not the body. I knew I wasn't the body. And I think now, thank you, Cindy, I knew it was a guide speaking to me, but I didn't know who it was, but it made perfect sense. It was my brother that had recently been deceased. It's just like he put his hand on my shoulder and said, don't worry, I'm not here with you, but even if you die, you're not the body. You will still go on.
Mm-hmm. Right. That was Mike's brother wanting to walk with him at least a little bit longer in this life, and I still feel his energy. Join him today in difficult times, or even times where there needs to be answers. So it is a beautiful thing when we can have these energies around us and know that we have the energies around us. And one of the things during my awakening that I realized that really helped me was the realization that there is no veil. I mean, they talk about the veil. There is things that we cannot see and perceive, but it doesn't mean that they're not there. It's widening our perspective. It's widening our understanding and our knowledge base, and knowing that everything that we need is right in front of us, depending on which way we decide to take a look at things, which way are we going to perceive it. So Mike's brother never left him. He's still with him. He works through him, gives him answers. But now we just have a deeper understanding of who that was.
The deeper the self-realization of a man, the more he influences the whole universe by his subtle spiritual vibrations, and the less he himself is affected by the phenomenal flux. And, you know, I can't agree more. I was not me for a period of time. And, you know, I lost myself for a period of time. I think we all tend to lose ourselves in this dark, muddied matrix. It's so easy to lose yourself if you're, you know, still working for a corporation and, you know, you have to go and abide by all their rules. You know, the way they give people scripts nowadays, if you have to pick up a phone and answer a phone, it's not you being authentic you, it's you being a robot. It's you saying, you know, something that's already been put together by somebody else because they feel they could do it better than you. They feel their way is the only way. And this is the same thing we see in our mainstream religions. Their way is the only way. Well, how do I know that? Because we told you. You know, here's the proof. Here, read our book. And what if it doesn't jive? What if it doesn't feel right? And I have, you know, picked apart the Bible, for instance, as well as pretty much every other quote-unquote scripture I could get my hands on. The Bible never felt right. It always felt like there is something so distorted where there are nuggets in there that feel wonderful and they speak to your soul. And then there's stuff in there that gets you totally saying, huh, it just doesn't feel right. And it's obvious, the programming that we get is so obvious. We're talking, go deeper. You know, it's so basic to give you that, you know, basic understanding of of what the, you know, typical interpretation of certain scriptures are. These are nothing that are really consciousness expanding. I mean, if you want to expand your consciousness, go into things like the Yoga Sutras. That is consciousness expanding. Read some of the teachings of Yogananda and so many of these other amazing, deep, insightful people. It's night and day. It's kindergarten to grad school. It truly is. There is so much here to be found. And the first thing is, though, finding yourself, not becoming something other than yourself, because you'll never discover anything if you're just stepping into that one-size-fits-all world. The path to the source of your and the world's being is not without. You have to go within yourself. Seek within and know thyself. These secret and sublime hints come to us, wafted from the breath of the rishis. And this is why I say, now again, the rishis are thought to be these wise men, wise beings, it'd be more accurate perhaps. You can be equated to the concept of what you would call an ascended master. Ascended in the sense that they don't have to be here and they just choose, like a bodhisattva. A being that chooses to still hang around people on the lower densities just so they can impart some wisdom to help people while they're on their journey. But again, go within, find your own path. That is the true wisdom. So that's Swami Ram Dass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, these beings have been enlightened. They have deeper understanding and they do choose to come here and walk with people, and we don't have to have them here in the 3D. That's part of understanding. There is no veil. We don't have to have them here in that tangible way. We can sit and we can connect with them and we can channel their wisdom and their understanding into our own being. And again, that's something that I wish was taught from a very young age, because we are all one. We can all connect to one another. We choose to come here and have this illusion of separateness so that we can understand who we are.
Yeah, and if we said something like, you know, what does Tesla and Mozart have in common? They're amazing channelers. They're amazing channelers. Channeling, we can all do this. And the governments understand that. That's why, again, they spend so much time, effort, and energy in doing it themselves, in remote viewing and going deeper, learning the secrets. When you look to the music of the masters like Mozart and Beethoven and, you know, so many of these other amazing composers, and then you look at the genius that we have with somebody like Tesla or so many other amazing minds, they're able to channel from the higher realms. They're able to see perspectives that they're not getting this in books. You might read some books to inspire you, but this comes from somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we come across that are really important, and we tend to throw the baby out with the bathwater so often and think, well, that's not what I was taught, so there must not be any other way. When there's so many other ways, all we need to do is be open to it, open to hearing from our loved ones, open to receiving information from different ways besides, you know, this one way that works for our 3D reality. We need to be open to the understanding that we might receive information from loved ones through pets, through trees, through nature, just our own mundane actions. Sometimes a loved one is trying to reach us without disturbing our human journey. That's ours. That's ours. So when we are hearing from loved ones or these wise men, women, they don't come to us directly because that would be interference.
Do you know what you are? You're a manuscript of a divine letter. You are a mirror reflecting a noble face. This universe is not outside of you. Look inside yourself. Everything that you want, you are already that. And that's from Rumi. So, you know, these are brilliant minds giving us brilliant phrases to inspire us in the path of self-realization. As you watch your mind, you discover yourself as the watcher. When you stand motionless, only watching, you discover yourself as the light behind the watcher. Ah, yes. Again, you start to realize that, and this is one of those things to meditate on. I am not the body. I am not even the mind. Yeah, and just go with that. It is something that takes time. It's a process. We have been so implanted and completely indoctrinated into these concepts of this dark system that truly take us away from the light and lead us down paths that lead to nowhere. So it starts, the path to, you know, self-realization starts with taking the time and effort to develop a regular steady practice, because it's not easy. And in this TikTok world where I got 3 minutes, give it to me, it's not going to happen in 3 minutes. You have to devote the time to yourself, and you have to basically go within, develop that practice.
You know, even ask for things to occur in your life that help you understand yourself. Ask for things to come to you that will bring you understanding, but be open to what you receive. Really sit and think about the information you receive and where it comes from. And one of the reasons I really got into astrology was for self-realization. I needed to know who I was. I needed to understand myself. I needed to know what I was good at, what I wasn't so good at. What should I be doing in this life? What's important? Which planets are my friends? Which planets am I connected to? Which planets do I learn through? You know, all of these questions is why I got into Vedic astrology. And understanding with Vedic astrology, it is different. There is a 23.5 degree tilt that they take into account when doing Vedic astrology. So it's different from Western. So you're not going to have the same information as you would Western. But this is something that I couldn't pull my soul away from. I had to understand myself. And in learning about this, now I can work with others and I can help others understand who they are. But let me just say, I mean, this is something that I humbly practice. This is a practice that is so vast and so wide. It's so difficult to say, do everything there is to be done on Vedic astrology. So I humbly practice, but I love it. It's my passion. I love to help people find themselves.
It's said in the Vaishnava tradition that we are living in the dream of Vishnu as his dreams are creating our reality. And yeah, there are other beings taking place in this, and there are other beings that join the creator of this particular universe in manifesting this universe. And when we look to the archangels, they all have their purpose, and they are masters of the elements and masters of manifestation. So those are some of the higher powers that are helping to manifest and maintain this particular universe. And there's many, many others. Mm-hmm.
So when I started to learn astrology, I began to create my own system and how I read the chart. So the way I read a chart isn't going to be the same as somebody else reads a chart. I find the information to be through my soul. You know, I channel the information. It comes to me. So I look at someone's chart and I study the chart and I get the information, and then we talk about it. And it's turned out to be such a useful tool to help people get a good handle on who they are. What are they supposed to be doing in this life? What did they do in a past life? And then we talk about it, and we're able to process through so much stuff from this valuable, valuable tool. And, you know, what is Vedic astrology? And this is something, this is funny because I've struggled with this.
Well, I mean, it's the science of light. Ultimately, it's the science of light and the interaction between light and what we might call matter, or light and other light. And so when we recognize that there's nothing more real than thoughts, thoughts are as real as anything that there is. And when we're talking about Vishnu dreaming the universe into existence, sure, he's dreaming it into existence. It takes a vision first, you know. And so like when I put together a bed, I made a loft bed, which I did share some pictures of, that was actually something that I didn't even really draw out or, you know, write down even what I needed. It was all just in the vision in my mind. And it did manifest. Now, I didn't manifest it out of nothing. No, it took trees. It took wood. It took steel. It took, you know, all these different things to put it together. And again, there are many beings. Like when we look into the sun, Cindy sees many entities in the sun, lending the sun in its purpose of bringing light, knowledge, gnosis, understanding, as well as the life-sustaining prana, the life force itself, to us. And when we think about the different archangels, there's actually thousands of archangels. There's more than we probably are even, you know, realize or have given names to. And then there's these archetypal forces. Now, there's archetypal forces in our solar system. When we look at the planets, they are also representing archetypes. And they do have their own unique personalities, and they do have their own unique influences on us, and so do the stars themselves.
Mm-hmm. Right. And we were working with someone today who was wanting to understand themselves. They wanted to know who they were more than anything, because there had been some information that wasn't correct, you know, during their time of life, during their growing up, during their adulthood. They realized, well, this isn't what I was told, and they had to take on a whole new understanding of who they are. So we started with a chart. And one thing I got to mention that I do with the chart is also the nakshatra. And this is just kind of on a side note, but the nakshatra goes in deeper than even the zodiac sign. The nakshatra is information that kind of states who you are, what's your day-to-day life, you know, kind of what are you like, and also the emotional aspect of you. So we look at these things, we talk about them, it shows our higher consciousness, and it shows our lower consciousness, and it shows what race did we come in. in this world? Did we come in, you know, as a human? Did we come in as a demon? Did we come in as a divine deva? These are three different races. And when I say demon, I don't mean the Christian demon where they have like the horns and everything and the pointy tail. That's not the kind of demon I mean. It's a form in which we come. We come here to learn if we come in that form.
Yeah, and then we could go into many other different aspects that are broken down. Again, if you really want to go into some deep wisdom, I would really recommend the Yoga Sutras. Take your time, because they're things that really have to be pondered. And we've talked about them before in some videos and covered a few of the sutras. It's just like the Tao Te Ching. You could read all the way through the Tao Te Ching, and I've done that, gone, you know, from start to finish, and then also come back and read one and let it soak in, because it's given to you little nuggets of wisdom that you really have to digest, and it takes time to fully realize what's being said. There's a real depth there that we don't necessarily see in, you know, the Abrahamic tradition. There, it touches on it in some things like Psalms and Proverbs. You'll find some of that type of a wisdom teaching there. Or, you know, in a simpler form, in a beautiful form, in the Beatitudes. I mean, those are beautiful. There are some wonderful teachings that are in there. But if you really want to go deep, you can go as deep as people could comprehend with, again, the Yoga Sutras, the Shiva Sutras. The Upanishads would be very familiar to you. You could actually read some of the Upanishads and think that you're reading the Bible in Proverbs, for instance. It feels very similar. But, you know, there's a lot of wisdom there. And so this is what a Vedic chart looks like. And, you know, again, Cindy does do the Vedic charts. There's more information up on our website, evolutionaryenergyarts.com. When it comes to the Vedic chart, if you wanted to set up an appointment for that, allow a couple weeks as far as, you know, getting a time slot typically.
Yeah, and I really have to stress the time. I can't do the chart without the time of birth. It's just too much. There's too many variables. It's too vast. So I really, really need that time. And I've heard of people being able to call, you know, places like Vital Statistics to get their time of birth. They've been able to come up with it because that really helps us zero in on who you are and what do you want to know. And if there's certain things going on in our lives and just like one kind of issue after another, a lot of times we can go in and look at that chart and say, oh, okay, well, this is why we have this going on, and for this is how long it's going on, and this is what we need to do about it. So it really is. It's been a huge blessing for me to learn and understand. And I have my own way. I've turned it into something of a soul alignment when I read someone's chart, because there's just so much that goes into it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can see where that light's emanating from. Again, it's all about the pineal gland and activating your kundalini. But first, you got to know who you are. You got to discover who you are. And again, we put on these masks, these personas. That's not us. And you know, how many people have we said, who are you? Well, I'm a teacher. And my name is Mary Jones, and I live in Green Bay. And who are you? You know, and people just don't understand that in this Western world. It really does take work. It takes time, takes consistency, but it's monumental, the self-discovery to be had. The false self lives a false life. The true self lives a true life. The difference is monumental, absolutely, because you're not your profession. You're not even the given name that you have taken or been given by your parents. You're something that's eternal and timeless, and it's tapping into that aspect. So when you look at, say, your Vedic chart, and you discover the layout of the heavens, when you jumped into this reality, that gives you a clue, a big, huge clue as to such things as, well, what's my purpose in life? Well, you know, there again, you could tell what your purpose is and certainly can tell what it's not, especially what it's not. Because unfortunately, sometimes there's certain conjunctions which might be happening in areas that are going to show that relationships are not going to work out, perhaps. Well, that's a good indicator that this life is about going within and self-growth and not necessarily getting your growth from others. Now, it could be showing that maybe your life is going to be one that money doesn't come easily. Again, it could be because of where your Rahu Ketu placement is. And Rahu and Ketu are the nodes of the moon, which have a huge influence on what we're going to find very, very challenging and very, very easy, and where our passions and then our absolute lack of passions lie.
Mm-hmm. Right. You know, I mean, really good information. Like, one of my favorite positions with Rahu and Ketu is Rahu in the fourth and Ketu in the tenth. And I can tell right away, this is someone's home is very, very important to them. They are a protector of their land. They are a protector of everything they know and find comfort in. And with that Ketu energy being over in the 10th house, they tend to be one of those people that are so nice. They go along at work and they're just doing everything that they can for somebody else. And their reputation might get tarnished because Ketu's not always looking where he's at, and he's in the house of career and reputation. So, I mean, these things are really valuable to find out in life and understand why, because then there's things you can do about them. And you have a little more understanding of why certain things, why is my home so important to me? And it just might be that innate energy that you have and you can't help it, because it just is. It's written in the stars. And I think, you know, one of the reasons I had to understand why people did what they did, it's been something in my mind for always and forever, is I didn't understand why sometimes people would hurt other people. Why would they do that? And if you look in a chart, you can see sometimes things that people might do that might be misunderstood, or things just aren't lined up in such a way. And it gave me a little bit of peace to understand people a little bit more. That's for me. And that's what I learned about myself. But everyone is just a little bit different.
So I don't want to put you on the spot, but what if we had Ketu sitting in the seventh house?
Yeah, that's kind of be a tough one, because we look at Ketu and we look at what it stands for, and it's about separation of spiritual and material. So if we have Ketu sitting in the seventh house of relationships, this is going to separate you from relationships. It's going to be like you're going to have kind of one bad relationship after the next. And usually halfway through life, this can resolve itself. But then Rahu is sitting up at your first house, and that's the house of self. So what are you supposed to do in this life? You're supposed to learn all about you, and that's why the relationships are not lining up.
Yeah, and that's just some of the things that, you know, will explain why things have gone a certain way in your life. Because sometimes we're swimming upstream really hard, and we're fighting a current that is going to be tough to overcome. So, you know, again, when you see, say, what if you had Rahu and Mars in the second?
Okay, so Rahu and Mars sitting together, whenever we have any planet sitting with Rahu, Rahu is going to charge that planet. And we look at the second house, and the second house is basically not just about money, but it's the value we find in things. And we're going to take this information. It is going to give you the ability to make a lot of money. It can put you in that position. It can give you blessings. Rahu, Mars is going to charge that Rahu energy. And that's your purpose in this life. You're going to find a lot of value with things in life. And also it can set you up financially to do quite well.
So I hope you guys found this interesting. If you do want to set up time for a chart, reach out to us at evolutionaryenergyarts@gmail.com. and we will get back to you and give you more information. Again, you need to know the time, place, date. You really have to have all those parameters. You know, every now and then we meet somebody that's an amazingly gifted person, and you know, we had one recently that was adopted, so didn't really know, but had gotten a date from within, and it really did fit the bill. So you never know, but really overall, you got to know the place, the time, and the date.
Yes, indeed.
So we hope you guys found this interesting. As always, much love, God bless, and namaste.
Namaste.